Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. The 19th century was a time when doctors still lacked formal medical education. Hospitals were virtually non-existent. Epidemics wiped out large numbers of residents, and quacks peddled cure-alls, while narcotics and poisons were ingredients in many medicines. Jacksonville played a role in that era. On July 19th, historic Jacksonville is hosting medical practices tours at the old Beekman House. Joining the exchange to tell us more is the president of Historic Jacksonville, Carolyn Kingsnorth. Welcome.
Oh, good morning.
So tell me about this big event.
Well, this is something we love doing. The Beekman House, I mean, the Beekmans were probably the richest and most prominent of Jacksonville's pioneer families. But wealth and prominence couldn't buy health care that didn't exist. And so it's an opportunity to revisit, particularly if health care is a major topic at this time, the health care that was available then, the beliefs that they had, and then the progress that was made, and all the things that we have learned about health, about medicine, about diseases in the interim, and also how to treat them.
And so you want people to come out on July 19th and do what?
Well, what we're going to be offering, we have costume docents who are going to be in every room of the Beekman House. And so this will be a tour of the house, but where we'll be talking about the health care that was available, the things, cure-alls the Beekmans tried. Also, this was when germs were being discovered, so we'll be talking about sanitary measures that they took, because sanitation and health care became a huge issue with the Victorians. And so these are one-hour tours that begin every 20 minutes, and we do cap the tour size at 8 because the house, we want it to be comfortable for everybody, and we don't want anybody to get sick. So, as I said, we'll be sharing all of this and what they faced and how things were treated.
So what's special about the Beekman House, and who was Beekman?
Well, the Beekman House, Cornelius Beekman, was the richest and probably the most, like I said, most prominent of Jacksonville's pioneer settlers. He had come to Jacksonville in 1853 as an express rider. When the company he worked for went belly up in 1856, he started his own express company. A year later, he bought a safe because he was carrying mail, newspapers, and gold between Jacksonville and Wairika, 67 miles over the Siskiyous, and so he wanted a safe place to store the gold. And that safe became the first financial institution in the Pacific Northwest because it became Beekman's banking office. And from there, in 1863, he became the Wells Fargo agent. They bought his business. Before that, he was just one of many point-to-point express riders. Wells Fargo made him the big guy. But he was also very much an entrepreneur and took advantage of opportunities he saw. So he invested in mining, in real estate, but he county warrants, which would be the equivalent of municipal bonds today. But he also... So he was on the school board. So he sold school books, so it probably is a public service. He sold fire insurance. He sold stationery. He sold ink. He was very much also a public servant, being trustee, mayor, school board chair, regent of the University of Oregon, candidate for governor of Oregon, and he was very much a philanthropist. But he built the house, at the Beekman House, what we know is that, in the early 1870s, and it was owned and occupied by only the one family. And it's still completely furnished with family artifacts, which is very rare because most historic homes are furnished with period pieces.
Right. It sounds like this guy was a do-it-all and do-everything.
Very much so. Well, in 1959, when Jacksonville was celebrating its centennial of statehood, the Oregonian newspaper, they put together a list of the 100 most influential individuals during Oregon's first 100 years, and Beekman's name was toward the top of the list.
Wow. Was his house used as some sort of makeshift hospital?
No, it was never, but most medicine was actually done at home. Surgery was done at home. It would have been done on the kitchen table. doctors made house calls. You didn't go to see them. They came to see you. Because there really were not many, many hospitals. And often what the hospital was their own, the doctor's own home.
So were there doctors in Jacksonville at the time?
There were. There were a lot of people calling themselves doctors. I'll put it that way. Some of them had training. Some of them did not. Because at the time, they were called a medical practitioner. And part of it was having people to practice on so that you learned your trade. That was something that was actually came out of the Civil War, was surgeons actually having people to do surgery on, having the fact that they were finally inventing some anesthesias. They finally had ether at that point, so surgery could be done under an anesthetic rather than giving someone lots of alcohol or telling them to bite the bullet. So they learned more about surgery, and that was also when the younger surgeons realized maybe we should wash our hands between the surgeries. The old surgeons weren't so sure about that. But this was something, again, starting some of the sanitation procedures. But this also gave them a chance to study anatomy. Before that, that was a very rare ability. In fact, ironically, many grave robbers were medical students looking for bodies to study anatomy.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about sanitation. Didn't they have an understanding of the importance of sanitation at that time? I mean, this was known in many places around the world.
I'm not hearing you.
I was just saying that sanitation was something, a practice that was known pretty much in many places around the world. Was it not prevalent in Jacksonville at the time?
Well, no, this was something that really came more into the mid to late 1800s. And that was when they started discovering germs. They were aware that also that certain locations were healthier than others, that they referred to them as miasmas, but that foul air could give rise to illness. But the discovery of germs led to the major advances in hygiene and sanitation. And toward the end of the century, it became a major focus of the I'll say the whole culture. In fact, it was that end of era and early 1900s where you had the Wellville movement. That was among others. I don't know if you ever saw, there was a movie back in the 70s or 80s called The Road to Wellville, and it was this combination health spa, medical center, but it was the Kellogg brothers. And it incorporated the ideas of vegetarianism, exercise, enemas as being a health care. And, of course, Kellogg invented Kellogg's cornflakes, but he invented it as a health food to stifle unwanted sexual impulses.
Okay, well, a lot of kids would like to convince their parents that Kellogg's cereals are health foods.
Very much so. But that was also graham crackers, oatmeal. They all came about at that same time as health foods. But this was when you had a major change also in the style of furnishings, where you took away the heavy draperies and curtains, and you went to like the brass beds, the openness, things that were relatively, had less places that dust could accumulate.
My guest is Carolyn Kings North, president of Historic Jacksonville. On July 19th, the public is invited to tour the old Beekman House and learn about medical practices from the Victorian era that took place in Jacksonville. So what was the most surprising thing you learned about the medical industry practices when you were studying this historic era?
Well, there was still some of the beliefs. I think some of the things I found fascinating were some of the things that, I mean, people are always looking for cure-alls. One of the things that I found fascinating is that most of the medicines were either based on cocaine, opium, poisons, or alcohol, or heroin, and that by 1900, 1 in 200 people was addicted to cocaine or opiates.
Say that again.
By 1900, one in 200 people in the U.S. were addicted to cocaine or opiates.
Wow. That's interesting.
That, but also then there's just the sheer quackery. Magnetism was something they discovered. So surely magnetism could be a cure-all. And then they got into electrotherapy. All of these different things, everyone looking for that magic bullet.
Huh. So what can visitors expect when they come to this tour at the Beekman House?
Well, they'll be hearing about all these things, and as I say, the cures that the Beekmans employed, the diseases they experienced. Their youngest daughter actually died complications from the measles, in one of the measles epidemics we had here. I mean, there were multiple epidemics all the time, and that this was why vaccines became so important. So they'll be learning about the transitions, how it impacted, well, basically, as I said, how wealth and prominence can't buy health care, and so what you did in the meantime.
And now measles is making a comeback.
Yes, they are, because the vaccines are not being used.
Well, Jacksonville was a gold mining town at that time, right?
Well, by this time, Jacksonville had been a gold mining town, but Jacksonville became the hub of Southern Oregon, governmental, social, and commercial. And it was very interesting in that we have a hard time really determining what the population of Jacksonville was at this time. Because when you did a census, people would record someone's location as being essentially the nearest town. And so you might be living somewhere way out in the county. You might be out in Eagle Point, but you're listed as being in Jacksonville. And so we know that, I mean, the population was anywhere between 1,500 and 10,000. But at one point, Jacksonville was actually the largest town in Oregon.
And it also had a sizable Chinese immigrant population as well.
It did. It had had the first Chinatown in Oregon. The Chinese were more astute, I will say it, in some of their practices. They actually stayed a lot healthier, and partially because of their diet. They would boil water, this kind of thing, some of their practices. And they as a population, they tended to stay healthier.
How did the Chinese receive medical treatment at that time?
They had their own healers, if you will. I don't know if you've ever been in John Day, where you have the medical practices. But you know, they would bring things with them from China, but they used a lot of herbal treatments, and there were a lot of herbal treatments that can be found here. In fact, you know, if right outside the Beekman House, there are two that were used. One was the comfrey, which they may use brewed into a tea, which could be a mild sedative that could be also used as poultices. Same thing for the catalpa tree. The Native Americans used it for a lot of healing practices. So there were a lot of things known about what's in the environment that can be used in a positive manner.
So when people come out to Jacksonville for this Beekman, the house tour at the Beekman House on July 19th, how should they prepare?
The tickets are $10. You can make reservations online if you want a specific time frame, because like I said, the tours start every 20 minutes, the first one at 12 noon, the last one at 3 p.m., or you can just show up and we'll put you on the first tour available. But we would love to have you join us. As I said, these are fascinating tours. It was a fascinating time period.
Okay, and we'll put a link to that on our website. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Well, thank you for having me.
My guest was Carolyn Kingsnorth, president of Historic Jacksonville. On July 19th, the public is invited to tour the old Beekman House and learn about medical practices from the 19th century that took place in Jacksonville.